and I'd just like to welcome you all. Have a great new year, beginning of a new year for our church, and the Lord will bless us this year. Our morning prayer time is conducted by Reverend James Blair this morning, both morning and evening. And on Tuesday this week, our midweek prayer meeting is at 8 p.m. And Wednesday, the 8th of January this week, our Young at Heart meeting, 2 p.m. Mr. George Wright from Ballyclare, RPC, will speak on the life and work of the late evangelist Billy Graham. Next Lord's Day, our Sabbath School classes start once again at 11 a.m., prayer time 11:30, and morning service at 12 noon. We're conducted by Stephen Wright, and the evening service, prayer time 10 past 7, and Stephen has conducted the evening service as well. The collection for Tear Fund and the Leprosy Mission amounts to £693 and £430 respectively. And there's an announcement from the Ladies of Karatz, PW, and they invite our ladies to join them at the coffee morning on Saturday the 18th at 10 a.m. in the Robinson Hall. And Tony Bassett will speak about her work as a Presbyterian Church of Ireland community outreach worker in West Belfast. And that meeting is at 10:45 a.m. I'd just like to welcome James back into our pulpit again as he presents the word to us.
Well, good morning, everyone, and it is indeed a pleasure to be here with you in Kilrats this morning, and I do want to wish you all a Happy New Year as well. I think this is maybe the last day that you can say that. I was listening to the radio yesterday, and they were saying if you're today, really this weekend's the last time that you can say Happy New Year, you should have said it to everybody by now. So I said to you this morning. I do apologise, I have a bit of a cold on me, and so if I have to stop and cough, you'll understand why, or blooming nose at some stage. But it is good to be here as we worship God together. And our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 93. The word says, "The Lord reigns, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed, he has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting." Let us sing praise to our God as we turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We sing stanzas 1 to 4 and 14 of the psalm to the tune of Holly number 15. Psalm 139, these stanzas 1 to 4 and 14. This psalm, it reminds us and teaches us about who our God is. The God is the one who knows us. He is the one who is all-knowing. He is the all-powerful God. He is the ever-present God. And so he demands that we come before him, and we should pray, as we will sing at the end, those wonderful words, "Search me, O God, my heart discern, test me, my anxious thoughts to learn, see if in hurtful ways I stray, lead me in the eternal way." We come before the God of all the earth, we come before the God of all creation, power, knowledge, and strength. And to walk in his ways is to walk in righteousness. And only through Christ can we do this. And so may it be our prayer at the beginning of this new year that God would enable us to do that by the help of his Spirit. Psalm 139. We sing these stanzas 1 to 4 and 14. If you will, please stand as we sing and remain standing for prayer. Let us worship God. Let us pray together. Lord God in heaven, we come and we worship you, we praise you and magnify your name, for you are the great and awesome God. This psalm, it reminds us that you are the all-knowing God. You know what we are thinking, you know what we say even before the words are on our lips. You are the ever-present God. There is nowhere, O God, that we can go that is away from your presence, even to the farthest side of the world. Lord, you are there. And Lord, you are the all-powerful God. You are the one who, Lord, is upholding us and keeping us. You're the one, O God, who is standing before us and behind us. You're ever present. You're always with us. Lord God, we thank you for the God that you are, for the God that you have been to us throughout a year, throughout this past year, throughout 2024. But we thank you that because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, you will be the same God in 2025. And Lord, we have opportunity this day to come at the dawn of a new year to worship you, and to praise you, to glorify your name. And Lord, may we be found in your ways and in your truth. Might we be found in your house week by week this year. May we be found in your presence day by day, in your word day by day, in the fellowship of your people when opportunities arise. Lord, to seek your face, to build and encourage one another, and Lord, to strengthen our walk by the help of your Spirit. Father, we do pray that you would bless us in this place today. Lord, that you would grant to us your strength and your help. We thank you for enabling us to be here. And Lord, we pray that as we worship you, as we praise your name, as we come to your word, Lord, we ask that you would undertake for us, that we might be blessed, that we might be encouraged, but God, that we might know you better and know our Savior better, who came to this earth to die upon the cross to save us from our sin. Lord God, we thank you that in Jesus there is plenteous redemption. In Jesus there is salvation that you might be feared. Lord God, we thank you that as we come to you and as we seek your face and as we cry out for salvation, we thank you that you do forgive. We thank you that you're gracious. We thank you that you're merciful. And we thank you for the salvation that can be ours in Christ. Lord, we pray that we would look to you, that you might be glorified and honored in all that we do this day. And we pray and ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen. Please turn with me in God's word to 1 Peter. We have two readings this morning, our second reading just before the sermon. But we read from 1 Peter and we read from chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We want to read the opening 12 verses of the chapter. First Peter chapter 2 and reading from verse 1. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Amen, and may God bless to us this reading of his word. We continue to worship God this morning as we present to him our tithes and offerings. Thank you. We want to sing praise again together, turning to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. We sing stanzas 1 to 6 of the psalm, Psalm 115. We sing stanzas 1 to 6. And our tune is Huddersfield, number 99. The psalm reminds us that God is the only true and living God. The gods of this world, they are but idols. They are idols that cannot see, cannot speak. They cannot smell, they cannot hear, they can't feel, they can't walk, they can't talk. And so what are the people of God to do? Well, rather than looking to the idols of the world, they're to look to the God of Israel. They're to look to the God of steadfast love and faithfulness. And they are to trust. They're to trust in the Lord. They're to trust in Him. O Israel, trust in the Lord. Their help and shield is He. O Aaron's house, trust in the Lord. Their help and shield is He. The world offers us many gods with a small g to follow after. Celebrities are set up. Perhaps some of the young people are fascinated by sports people or pop stars or whatever you're fascinated by. Whether it is, there is a celebrity or a thing. When I was growing up, I was fascinated, well, still am fascinated by rugby. And rugby doesn't have the same amount of followers as football or Formula One or any of the other sports or other sports in the world. But we set people up, don't we? Or we set things up, whether it's money or family, our wealth, our job even, those of us, or as you work. There are things that are set up that are put out as more important. We want the latest of something. I was saying to the men in the minister's room before we came out that over the past couple of days, my wife Pamela and I, we were in London for a couple of days, and we decided Christmas decorations were still up in Fortnum and Mason, and we thought we would go and have a look. And we thought, well, £560 for four cups and saucers is a bit expensive. We'll not bring those home. We went to Harrods then as well, and our eyes were even wider when we saw, well, the technology department more than anything. We then also, and things selling for 10, 20, 30,000 pounds, and people just happily going along and buying them. Or then we also went to a piano shop, and that was Pamela's enjoyment. I decided that, no, we couldn't bring home the grand piano at £110,000. It just wouldn't fit. But there are things that people strive after, that they long after, that they look to find satisfaction in. The psalm, it reminds us that we are not to look to the things of the world. Rather, we're to look to God. It's only God who can be our help and our shield. It's only the Lord. And that's why the psalm begins with that great statement, "O, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your own name, give the glory." And what glory is there in the Lord? Well, it is his faithfulness, his unending, his unchanging faithfulness. When we are faithless, he is faithful. And for his steadfast love, his covenant love, his promise-keeping love that brought the Lord Jesus into the world to die for us. He came out of love. He came so that we might go to him. Why would we look to anything else? Friends, may we trust in the Lord. May he be our help and our shield. Psalm 115, these stanzas 1 to 6. Again, if you're able, please stand as we sing and remain standing for prayer. Let us read. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you that you are the God who lives. We thank you that you are true. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that you show steadfast love to your people. Lord God, the idols of this world are of nothing. They cannot do anything. They cannot speak. They cannot see, hear, smell, feel, walk. They cannot speak. And all those who make them become like them. Oh God, we thank you that you are the true and living God. And we pray, O Lord, that we, as your people, we continue to look to you. That this congregation, O God, would continue to look to you. That the people of God here, the Israel of God here, the Church of Jesus Christ here in Kilrats would look to you. That they would trust in you. And that you, O God, would be their help and their shield. Lord God, that you would be their help in times of trial and difficulty. That you would be the one to be their help in all circumstances, to pick them up, to be their stay and their strength. And Lord, that you would be their shield, the shield round about them to protect them and keep them. Lord, that you would be their protector, that you would help them, O God, that you would keep them from the evil one, that you, O Lord, would protect them, that wolves would not come in and disrupt. But Lord, that you would be their shield. That you would be the one, Lord, to maintain and preserve their unity as a congregation. That as you are their shield, you would build them up and strengthen them behind that shield. Lord, that they may stand more firmly in you and in who you are. Father, we pray for the session as they meet. Lord, we pray that you would be with them and bless them as they lead spiritually, the people here, we ask, Lord, that you would undertake for them and give them wisdom and strength to know your will. We thank you for the blessing they have been, and we ask, Lord, that you would be near to them in the weeks and months that lie ahead. Lord, we pray for the deacons as they serve among the people, as they, Lord, are the hands and feet of Christ among the people. We pray, Lord, that you would undertake for them and give them areas of service and further areas of service, both within and without the congregation, to extend the love of Christ. Father, we pray ultimately that in your will you would lead this congregation to a new pastor, that you would bring another among them to be the under-shepherd of Christ, the good shepherd. Lord, one to come week by week to open up the word, to come in and out among them, to show them the good pasture that you have for them. And Father, we pray that you would bless them together. But Lord, whilst they are without a minister, we thank you that the Lord Jesus remains the good shepherd. The good shepherd who has laid down his life for his sheep. Father, we pray that you would bless your people here. Father, we remember those who are laid aside, those who are perhaps in hospital. We ask, Lord, that you would be near to them and strengthen them. For those who would long to be here at worship, we ask, O God, that you would undertake for them. And may even today they receive a Sabbath day blessing from you. Father, we thank you for your people here. Lord, be with them and bless them and undertake for them. Father, we do pray for our wider denomination. We thank you for the men training at the theological college. Lord, we pray for them and ask that you would bless them as they will resume their studies soon after a winter break. Father, we pray that you would be with them. We pray for the professors and lecturers at the college too. Lord, in the work that they undertake to train these men. And Father, we pray that you would continue to be working in them and transforming them into the men that you want them to be. That, Lord, as they have felt this inward call, that in due time, Lord, they would receive the outward call to a congregation of your choosing. Father, we pray for The Reverend Nick Jones as well. Father, we pray for him as he undertakes training with the Western Presbytery. Lord, we pray that you would bless him. We thank you for him and ask that you would be near to him in these days of further training and as he gets himself involved in the life and work of our denomination. Father, we pray that you would continue to bless the other vacant congregations in our denomination. We think especially of our neighbours in Ballymoney. Lord, we pray that you would do the same for them and raising up in due time a man of your choosing for that congregation. But Father, we pray that you would continue to build and establish your church here in Northern Ireland, on the island of Ireland, across the United Kingdom, across Europe. Father, we pray for the gospel to continue to advance, to go out, Lord, to lost souls, that they would be saved. Father, we look at our communities round about us. We look at hordes of people on television celebrating and bringing in the new year. But how many of them, Lord, do not know you? Lord, there are many going to a lost eternity. Many going to hell because they know not Christ. Father, we pray that you would open eyes to see and ears to hear and give new hearts to receive the gospel. Lord, that your name might be glorified, that not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your own name give the glory for your faithfulness and for your steadfast love. Father, it is for your glory that we seek to proclaim your name. It is for your glory that we live for you. It is for your glory that we want to see the gospel proclaimed. And so, Lord, we ask that you would work in our lives to make us better servants of yours. Work in our lives to make us better pictures of the gospel and better speakers of the gospel. And Father, you might have your name glorified. Father, we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he is the Word made flesh. But we thank you for your word given to us. We thank you, Lord, now that we can come to the reading and the preaching of it. And we pray, Lord, that you would undertake for us in this. And may you be glorified, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please turn with me in God's word to 1 Samuel. And to 1 Samuel chapter 7. First Samuel chapter 7, and we want to read together from verse 2 down to the close of, verse 2 down to the close of the chapter. First Samuel chapter 7, reading from verse 2, let us hear the word of God together. So it was that the ark remained in Kiriath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. The hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also there was a peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. There he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Amen. May God bless his word to us. The Lord, in his goodness and kindness, has brought us to the first Sabbath of a new year. But at the new year, what do, other than having to remember to write a new date down? This morning was the first time I'd had to write 25 rather than 24, just about remembered. What do we do at a new year? Well, we look back, don't we? But we also look forward. And as we look back and as we look forward, we assess how the year has been. Were the New Year's resolutions from 2024 kept? Did the gym get visited any more than it did in the previous year? Did we do something? Did we achieve that task that we set out to do? Or we look ahead into a new year and we make plans for a new year. We think ahead. We think, well, I have this to do and I have that to do, or I have this journey to make or that journey to make. We try and set things in perspective. Set achievable goals, perhaps, for what is a new year. But as we come to reflect on an old year and look ahead into a new year, the actions of Samuel in 1 Samuel 7 and verse 12 are good for us to consider. We're told there in verse 12 that Samuel took a stone, he set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Thus far the Lord has helped us. The people of Israel, they have just experienced a great deliverance. The Lord has given them victory over the Philistines. And immediately afterwards, Samuel erected a stone in a prominent place to where this battle had been won. And we might say, why? What was the purpose of this stone? Well, there are a number of things that we can say about this stone. Well, it was a stone set up to jog the memory. It was a stone set up to jog the memory, to help the people remember. Samuel set up this stone so that in the years to come, the people would recall the day that the Philistines threatened their nation and God delivered his people. And it's right and good, therefore, from that vantage point, or from the vantage point of a new year, to look back and to think over what God has done for us. Now, why do we do that? Why on the first Sabbath of a new year do you look back? Or should you look back? Well, we look back because we easily forget. We can easily forget how God has been with us. Because we live in a day and age when life is so busy, when we're so preoccupied with the things that are happening here and now, that we tend to forget what is gone. When our lives are full and busy, We need to take time to stop and to set our minds on God and reflect on his dealings with us. In fact, it's why the Lord has given us the Sabbath day. So that one day in seven, once a week, we can pause. We can focus our minds on God. We can consider our relationship with him. Indeed, it's also why the Lord Jesus has given us the Lord's Supper. He has given it to us that we might stop, that we might reflect, that we might look back to the cross and remember his great love for us there. We're told, aren't we, this do in remembrance of me. To remember, to jog our memory, to look back. And it's important that we do that, that we take time to stop and recall the past and reflect on God's goodness in it all. Because we're to do this as individuals. Individually, we are each to do this because none of us has experienced the same experience. There isn't two of us whom God has led down exactly the same road in life. There's a personal and an individual aspect to God's goodness. And so it's fitting, therefore, on a day like today that you look back in thought over the past year that has just closed. And perhaps even back beyond that, into the past, and further and recall and reflect on how God has dealt with you personally. Perhaps you can remember the first time that you came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you can recall that time and you wandered away from the Lord. Perhaps you're still wandering away from the Lord. Perhaps that wandering was for a long time, but in his grace and his mercy, God brought you back and restored you to himself. Perhaps you look back and you recall a time of great difficulty, a time of perplexity in your life, and you wondered where to turn to, and the Lord helped you. Perhaps you've been ill, and God in his goodness has restored you. Many of us can reflect and give thanks for the tokens of the Lord's goodness. Well, today, pause. You might say, raise your Ebenezer, as it were, and say from your heart, thus far has the Lord helped. But we also need to do this as families, not just as individuals, but as families. Yes, the scriptures talk about God dealing with individuals like Noah and Abraham and Jacob, even Samuel. But he also dealt with their families. He dealt with households. He dealt with covenant families. And so if you're as being part of a family, it's good to look back with your family and recount God's mercies. Yes, there might have been conflict, there might have been division or trouble. But God in his goodness perhaps has granted a resolution. Or other stresses and difficulties that have strengthened your family because you've cast all your care upon the Lord as never before. Respond to the Lord and say, thus far has the Lord helped. And then as a congregation, even in the midst of vacancy, you can look back and say, thus far the Lord has helped. Coming through the trials and strains of a year or of previous years, perhaps the sorrow of the passing of members, of family, of friends. But even in that, you can look back and give thanks to God for his care and support. Another year spared to serve the Lord, to honor him, to glorify him, to bring us through. A year in which the Lord has enabled you to serve him and honor him. A year in which you've been taught the word of God week by week, increasing your knowledge, increasing your understanding of his truth. A year in which you've been established more firmly in the Christian faith. Perhaps you've been brought to faith this year, have been challenged more this year by the Spirit of God about your walk with God. and you've grown in your salvation. This Ebenezer stone that Samuel set up, it caused the people to think back, to recall how the Lord had been with them. Friends, we too are to look back and reflect on how the Lord has been with us, as individually, as individuals, as families, as a congregation. Look back and recall what God in his mercy and in his grace has done. Not only was it a stone to jog the memory, secondly, we see this is a stone to bear testimony. It's a stone to bear testimony. The word Ebenezer has been given because it means the stone of help. The stone of help. That's why Samuel said, thus far, the Lord has helped us. And it was set in a prominent place between Mizpah and Shen, a place that would be passed by, and nobody could miss it. And they could say, yes, that stone not only reminds me, but it tells me something. It testifies to something. It testifies to the fact that God fought for his people on that day when the Philistines attacked, and he won for them a glorious victory. And friends, as we look back and remember what God has done, as we remember his mercies to us day by day, week by week, even year by year, we can testify to what God has done. And we're to testify before God himself. Here this morning in his presence, we are to acknowledge what he has done for us, that he has been good to us, that he has displayed his grace to us, that he has enriched us with his love and with his care, that he has been our God and we have been his people. That he is the one who has been, as we sang in Psalm 115, he has been our help and our shield. We're to testify to God and thank God for all that he has done. But then we can also, or should, testify to each other. We should talk to each other about what God has done. Samuel set this stone up that it might be a witness to every Israelite of the victory God had given his people, so that they would talk about it to each other. And we're to tell each other, friends, what God has done for us. And I wonder, do we? I preached this sermon last Sabbath day in Ballyclover. And I asked the same question, having been nearly 10 years in Ballyclover. We're beginning to get to it. I think whether it's a Northern Irish thing, whether it's a North Antrim, I know Ballyclover's East Londonderry, but I'll still say North Antrim. Is it just something in our minds, in our psyche, that we find it difficult, don't we? And I'm saying this about myself. We can find it difficult to tell other Christians what God has done for us. I often wonder about myself, is it because I've just been brought up in the church and church is normal and going to church week by week is normal and you know everybody, or you think you know everybody, and you just get on with things? Whereas we've seen people, and you maybe know people like this yourself, they've come in to the church from outside and they're so open and honest. They've been saved from the world. They've been saved from a life of sin. They've known nothing of the gospel. And they've come in and they've come to faith, and they are so open and honest and so full of praise about who God is and what he has done for them. I don't know what the answer is. Yes, we can talk to one another. We can see how each other is getting on week to week. We can maybe even discuss some point of theology or some event in the church, or even air our views on different aspects of morality. But do we get down into the nitty-gritty, we might say, of the Christian life and talk to each other about how God has dealt with us. We can hesitate, don't we, to say to each other, well, do you know I've been praying for this situation in my life and God has answered my prayer? Or do we say, well, I've had this trial and here's how God has brought me through it. I think something, friends, that this would be such an enrichment of fellowship, wouldn't there? Be such an enrichment of fellowship there'd be among us if we laid aside our inhibitions and we spoke of how God has helped us thus far. We shared with each other the things that God has taught us from his word week by week. Of how he's helped us and blessed us. So friends, might I encourage you to do that even here in Kilrats this year, to begin to talk more with each other, to tell each other not just how work has been this past week, but the things that God has done for you. And rejoice together in the goodness and the grace of God. Because not only should we testify to God and talk to one another, testify to one another about how God has been with us, but that encourages then and helps us to tell the world. If we can't talk to one another about the things of God, how are we going to talk to the world about the things of God? You see, this stone that Samuel set up was a testimony to all who passed by. It was a testimony to the Israelite, yes, but also to the Gentile, to the pagan, to the Philistine, to the Amorite, to any who would walk by, that God had done this amazing thing for his people. People drive past this building, and I'm sure they wonder, do they wonder about it? Actually, when Pamela was giving birth to our third child, to Lydia, Samuel was sick, that's what it was. And we were in the Causeway Hospital, sort of all a blur. Samuel was sick, and I had taken him into the hospital, and he needed to be admitted. And so we were being admitted to the children's ward. And the nurse who was admitting us, we began talking. And I said, well, what I did and where I was from. And she talked about where she was from. And somehow we got talking about here. Because she was driving past this building every day on her way to work. And she didn't really know what the church was about. And so it was an opportunity. She knew where this church building was, and I explained to her about this church building and what it was, and she said, oh, I didn't realize that. I said, well, you should visit sometime. You should go along. Because the church building in this day and age is becoming quite a novel thing, I think. And For the people in Samuel's day, they didn't have church buildings. They might have had altars set up in different places. Samuel set up his own altar in Ramah. They had this stone set as a memorial. Church buildings are set as a memorial, but also as a place of life. An evidence to the world that something is going on here. When they see light and life coming out and in of the church building, it's an opportunity to talk about what God has done. But the world is also looking at you. He's looking at me. The world is looking at us for evidence of God at work. If we say we're a Christian, if we stand up for Christ and say, well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and the person in the world says to me, well, tell me about what it means to be a Christian, that's an opportunity. And we can say to the person in stuttering words, it doesn't need to be an eloquent speech, this is how God has helped me. This is how God has been with me. This is how God dealt with my sin. This is why I love God. You can tell them about Jesus. It doesn't have to be an easy flow of words. But as you're in the yard, or in the office, or in the car, over the factory bench, across the counter in the shop talking to the shop assistant, or as you perhaps work in the shop, across your fence to your neighbour. Rather than that being the dividing line, might it be a bringing together point? So Robert Frost said, good fences make good neighbours. But let us use those opportunities to tell other people about God, about what God has done for us. May our lives stand as a testimony to him. And so this is a stone to jog the memory and a stone to bear testimony, but it's also a stone to stir gratitude. It's a stone to stir gratitude. You see, by setting up this stone, Samuel and the Israelites, not only they were recalling what God had done for them, how he had delivered them, how he'd saved them. It bore testimony to God's mighty deliverance. Why? So that God might be praised. And ultimately, as we look back over a year and look ahead into a new year, when we look back and remember what God has done, we are to praise him. We're to thank him for who he is and what he has done. See, what is it when what are we doing when we thank someone? Well, we acknowledge that we are dependent on that person for the help that they give. And when we come to God and we raise our Ebenezer, as it were, and we say thank you for all he has done for us and been to us, we let him know just how utterly dependent we are on him and how we appreciate what he has done for us. As you look back over 2024 and you think about everything that you have, everything that you are, everything you've received, everything you've enjoyed, it's all down to him. Every breath that you have breathed, every mouthful of food that you have taken, every faculty you've exercised, every day of health, every safe journey on the road, every day you've lived, you've been dependent on him. If in this past year he has saved you and brought you to himself and reconciled you to himself, you should want to praise him. Every day that we have acknowledged or felt his grace and experienced his grace, we should want to praise and thank him. Anything that has been attempted and the work of building God's kingdom, it must be attributed to God. Anything that has been accomplished in the building of his kingdom, it must be attributed to him. When we recall his dealings with us, in order to thank him for his forgiveness, his patience and grace, as well as for all he has given to us, for all that has enabled us to do, for all the help he has been to us, we must thank him. But I wonder, friends, does true thanksgiving just end with a word of thanks? Well, no, I think true thanksgiving always leads to action, doesn't it? And friends, if God has been merciful to you, if he has brought you to saving faith, if he has preserved you, if he has healed you, and friends, perhaps might I challenge you, rather than just saying thanks, show your thanks by obedience to him. Resolve that by his grace in this new year, you will make a conscious decision of obeying his will and endeavoring, whatever the cost, to be what he commands you to be. Whether it's as a husband or wife, a father or mother, a son or daughter, as a friend, maybe most especially as a church member, follow his will. Be obedient to him, testifying to the goodness of God, yes, thanking him for what he has done, but not just by our lips, but by humble and glad service to him. And so this is a This is a stone to jog the memory. It's a stone to bear testimony, a stone to stir gratitude. But lastly, it's a stone to evoke confidence. A stone to evoke confidence. When Samuel set up the Ebenezer stone, he was looking forward as well as backward. He was looking forward because the Philistines would return. There'd be more battles to fight, more attacks to ward off. Yes, it says that the Philistines were subdued. They didn't come any more into the territory of Israel. They did. That was after Samuel's time. But Samuel was setting up this stone to help, to let the people know that God would be with them in the future. Samuel says that, or sets up this stone, names it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Other translations have, "Till now the Lord has helped us." And both, whatever, either of those translations, what do? They're not just rooted in the past, but they're looking ahead. They're saying that if God has helped us now, he will help us in the future. He hasn't failed us now, so he won't fail us in the future. The God who helped us today doesn't change. His promises, his past mercies, they are evidence of his future mercies. And so, friends, when we look at the past, when you look back, you're not escaping into some kind of dream world. You're not opting out of your responsibilities. You're not trying to run away from problems and trials and losing yourself and some nostalgic glance backwards to the good old days. No, when you look back and see God's past help and his past deliverance in order to take heart, it's so that you will look ahead. You look back to look forward, to gain strength and resolve to press forward in the days ahead. For what will 2025 hold for any of us? Well, perhaps it is a mercy that ultimately we don't know. Well, whatever may come to us individually, or to each of the families here, or to you as a congregation, ultimately is hidden from us. We might make plans. We might set things down to happen. Those plans may go up in the air. There may be some of you who will be called home to glory in this year. But friends, the Lord has been pleased to make his plans. The future we do not know, but the Lord knows. And we can say with confidence, till now or thus far, the Lord has helped us. Because we can give thanks that our God isn't groping about in the dark. He isn't perplexed about how events are developing. No, he knows the end from the beginning. He's working everything out after the counsel of his own will and for his own glory. The future will contain nothing but that which God has planned or what he will permit. For he holds the whole universe in his hands. He does whatever he pleases. And so whilst we look back and thank him for all that is in the past, we look forward and trust him for what is yet to be. And so, friends, do you know this God? Have you proved him and his grace and his faithfulness? Are you today in a personal relationship with him? Do you walk with him? If not, then I would encourage you to come to know him personally. May he be a stone. May the Lord Jesus Christ be the stone upon which you build your life. May the promises of God contained in Christ be the rock upon which you build your life. We read earlier in 1 Peter of that stone which is rejected that became the chief cornerstone. to those who know Christ, he is the head, or he should be the head. He is the foundation. He is the rock that holds all things together. But to those who don't know him, 1 Peter tells us he is that stone of stumbling. He is a rock of offense. And to you today, he's either the foundation or he is the thing that trips you up and will ultimately lead to your downfall. The Savior of the world, friends, he invites you to himself. He invites you to come and to trust him with your soul, to rest on the finished work of the cross that you might be forgiven. And friend, what a great beginning to a new year it would be that you would come to Christ. And then at the end of this year, the beginning of 2026, you could look back and say, thus far, the Lord has helped me. Friends, may God truly be your Ebenezer. May you continually look to him. May you continually know him. Friends, may you continually look back. If you know Christ as your Savior, look back over the past. Reflect on what God has done. Read. I would encourage you to read more this year. Read of how God has worked in the past, in his people and through his people. Look at the testimony of other believers here, both in the past and in the present, and see how the Lord has helped. That we might each be strengthened for the year that lies ahead, for the years that lie ahead. That we might be able to say with the people of God, with Samuel, thus far the Lord has helped us. And know that he will continue to help us and bless us and keep us throughout this new year and into the years that lie ahead, all because of Christ, all because of the promises of our God that never fail. Amen. If you're able, please stand as we pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, we thank you that you never change, that your word never changes, that we might change, that we grow older, that we develop. But yet, God, you're the one who never changes. And what a comfort and help this is. And you're the same God today as you were in the days of Samuel. And you, as you delivered your people then from the hands of their enemies, so you've delivered us through Christ from our greatest enemy. But Lord, you continue to deliver us day by day through by your grace and mercy. You are our shield and our help. And so God, may you be the cornerstone of our lives. May you be the foundation. May you be the head. May you be our God and our guide through Christ our Savior. And Father, if there are any here who knew not Christ, Lord, may, O God, they come to realize who he is and their need of him. Lord, that he may be the rock of foundation rather than the rock of offense. But may, Lord, even this year you cause some to stumble, to fall to their knees, to acknowledge Christ as their Savior, or that they might know him. Lord, if there are any who have wandered from you, may you bring them back to yourself in this year. Lord, may you add to this congregation through the proclamation of your word and the lives of your people here. May you encourage us all, Lord, to be better at talking of you to one another and to the world, that your name might be glorified, that your people might be saved. And so, God, we pray that you would continue with us and bless us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We close by singing the words of Psalm 118. Psalm 118. We sing stanzas 12 to 15 of the psalm. Psalm 118, 12 to 15. And the tune is St. Lawrence, number 148. And there we have those words quoted in 1 Peter. That stone in stanza 14, that stone is made head cornerstone, which builders cast aside. This is the doing of the Lord, a wonder to our eyes. Prophesying here of the Lord Jesus, and the one who would come and would be the head cornerstone. He would be cast aside by his own, but the Lord has seen fit to build his church upon him, and may we build our lives upon him. Therefore might we say, this day the Lord has made, let us be glad in it with joy. Lord, save, I pray. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Psalm 118, these stanzas 12 to 15. Again, if you're able, please stand as we sing praise together. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all both now and forevermore. Amen.